Triple M Footy is your front row. Welcome to the Run. For McDonald's McCafe, Triple M rocks footy.
Grand Final 2008.
There it is! The Hawks are premiers in one of the most stunning upsets.
Round 17, 2009.
Buddy's going to bang it long. He tries for a tall. Oh, it's out on the full. The Cats have won it by 2 points.
Round 15, 2010.
Bartel runs in and kicks a goal.
Oh, what a goal. It's a point. It's a point.
The Cats win it by the barest margin.
Round 19, 2012.
This for the game, then. Kick is on the way. Siren's gone.
Preliminary final 2013.
Barco on his own kicks and misses. Oh. The Hawks are through to a grand final.
Qualifying final 2016.
Isaac Smith has missed it. The Cats have won this game of footy.
Yes, a very big weekend of footy drawing to a close here today at the MCG. Classic game, Hawthorn and Geelong. There have been some great games in years gone by, and we'll hopefully get one here today as I welcome the entire Triple M team here for Easter Monday football. Mark Howard is with us, Wayne Carey is here, Damo is with us, and of course, Mickey Roberts is also with us. Howie, good afternoon, welcome to you.
Great to be here, Brian. Drove up from the coast today, waves down at Bells, and then half of Geelong was packing up the highway to head up to this game. It's such a wonderful tradition. The sun's going to be shining at the MCG, 85,000. The Hawks need a win, though, Brian. There's no doubt about that. 0-4 if they lose today, set for a really big game.
And Bell's pumping as well. That's great news. Damo, afternoon.
They've left Wikipop. Wasn't that Wiki Pop on Saturday?
Hey, listen to Kelly Slater in the back row.
You only hear these words, bells and Winky Pop, at this time of year, don't you? But 85,000, how is that the educated guess or
that's my educated guess.
Knowledge?
Yeah, no, that's just purely my guess.
Lucky to get 70.
Yeah, I wouldn't be thinking 85 the 60. Way particularly Hawthorn is going. It's a last roll, isn't it, really, for Hawthorn from a finals perspective?
It is, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Just before I introduce our next man here, as we take a look at the 400 final, and it looks like Jack Anderson has won. So it looks like Jack Anderson, son of John Anderson from the Herald Sun, a senior sports journo.
Quite extraordinary.
Might have got up and won on the line there, Jack Anderson. So big news at Stall. We'll be going live to the Stall GIF as well. But as I said before I introduce our next man that's here today with us on a regular basis, it's been a long weekend for him because he's covered game after game after game. And he rolled up here today and the first thing he said, I have to be careful today not to overexpose myself. That was his first comment.
Yeah. What about his second one, though, BT? This is the one I really want you to highlight.
And in reference to his work yesterday on Triple M Football with the great Paul Roos, he came in and said it not once, but twice, only a matter of minutes apart. Yeah. I thought we nailed it yesterday, particularly me.
I don't even think he said I thought. I just said we nailed it.
Yeah
it's lovely to be here, BT. Thanks for that introduction. I tell you what, I am looking forward to today. It has been a long weekend. It started way back on Thursday, obviously West Coast and Sydney, and here we are today. And look, these two sides have had such great battles over the years, and I know Hawthorn are 0-3. I tend to agree. I don't think it'll be the sort of 80, 75, 80. I think they'll get 60 plus, which is still a really good crowd. Great day in Melbourne. And it has been long, BT. And when I talked about overexposing myself, it wasn't in that manner.
No.
But no, I am thoroughly happy to be here with you lovely people.
Very good.
Did you see it as a last roll of the dice for Hawthorn, Duck, from a 2017 finals perspective?
History tells you that you're 0-4 and you're pretty much cooked in terms of making finals. I do think there is a side that is 0-4 that can still do it.
I believe Sydney. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
But I think that if Hawthorn were to lose today, then I don't think they'll play finals footy.
We're going to find out a lot about them today, Damo.
Yeah.
I just reckon that's why I'm looking forward to the game. I'm particularly looking forward. I know Geelong will play well and things will go well for them, but particularly looking at Hawthorn to see what they've got, to see their attitude, to see their spirit, their camaraderie, just to see where it's at.
I agree. I don't think Geelong have been playing as well as what. I think we'll find out a little bit about both today. Let's be honest, Geelong and their reliance on Selwood and Dangerfield and Tom Hawkins has been on fire, but they still rely on those stars. And I know Chris Scott has been open
about that.
And said, well, yeah. You want your good players to play well. I get that. But I just wonder that Hawthorn might put a little bit of time into those, knowing how important they are, and might sort of turn this into a, I guess in the past, Hawthorn have, you know, taken the game on and scored. They've struggled to score. Mm. It might be a bit more of a defensive style today from Clarko. We might see something completely different from Hawthorn than we have in the first three rounds.
It's been words, hasn't it, only to this point about where Hawthorn is at and how it's not going to change too much. And Alistair Clarkson, I love the way he's gone about it. He's got his back up about the criticism that's been levelled at him and the questions that are now being raised of him and his footy club. But to this point, three rounds in, it is only words. So we're going to need to see it pretty soon, aren't we, to be convinced that what he is saying is indeed something we need to listen to.
So contractually, where is Clarko at the moment?
He has got this year and two more beyond that.
Right, because when you go into the rebuild phase, which they obviously are, it means the club is committing really to that coach for at least 4 to 5 years, aren't they?
Yeah, you'd think so. Yeah. And they made that decision more than 12 months ago now to do it. It had been a discussion that had been going on for 6 months before they announced it.
Do you reckon he would be reassessing or pondering that decision now, or you reckon it's straightforward that he's going straight ahead with this mob?
I don't see how you can make the decisions he made, BT, we've discussed this ad nauseum, haven't we, to a point, with the two big names who he moved out of the footy club last year. I don't see how you can make that decision. And I reckon he made that decision within that second final they lost last year, half-time of that game, three-quarter time of that game. He was going to make something big. I don't see how you can do that, and then 6 months later, 7 months later, as it is now, question it.
And I reckon there's a period after you've come off success like they have, where you can't be seen to be just jumping off the boat and walking out the door the moment things get hard, can you?
So. Yeah. Look, the rebuild element to it, though, Duck and Howie and BT, not many coaches get two chances at a rebuild. Now, obviously, when you've won four premierships as part of your first rebuild, you've got every right to go around it again. Brad Scott's different story at North Melbourne. Didn't get to the Holy Grail, but has been given an opportunity to rebuild again. But it's unusual. Kevin Sheedy obviously rebuilt several times, but Alistair Clarkson's now doing it.
Think of the great teams. Think of, you know, even Hawthorn, who won three in a Brisbane, who won three in a row under Lee Matthews. What's happened to Hawthorn is they've lost, we spoke about this, Howie, they've lost football intelligence. They've lost 40% of their football intelligence out on the ground.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they've lost Lewis and Mitchell off the ground. So Clarko, as good as Clarko's the great modern day coach, no doubt about that. But on field now, they've lost that smartness
that
out there.
That composure.
Absolutely.
Footy
so
smarts,
it's
yeah.
gone. Now, you can bring as many good young players as you want in, but if they don't have the footy intellect, then it's a lot harder to coach than when you do have it. And they've lost a lot of that. And that's why I think that they're not as good a team as what they were last year and the year before and the year before.
The way I look at it, though, guys, is this is one of the few coaches in the competition that can make the truly hard decisions. Because Alistair Clarkson isn't a man that has to keep an eye on his job over the next couple of years. Yeah. So if you're a Hardwick or a Buckley or these other guys, you have to keep one eye on your job, one eye on your team. He can make those cuts. He can do the Lewis and the Mitchell cut and still move on knowing that his job is safe. So he can do a true rebuild. So he's looking at this side today. You're saying, would he be surprised, Brian? He's looking at this side today. He could have told you this was going to be there. It's not like they got a lot of injuries. He could have told you this is pretty much their starting 22 at the end of last year. It's not like he didn't know this was coming, I don't
think. No, but I reckon he thought they might have been in a slightly better position or playing better football at least.
And the players who we are querying now, aren't we? Like, Hartung just hasn't come on the way we thought 2 or 3 years ago, has he? Isaac Smith, I'm a massive fan of his, but for the three games he's played this year, he hasn't done, I wouldn't have thought, what Alistair Clarkson would have thought he was going to do once Mitchell and Lewis exited. There's others like it, aren't there? Yeah, Bruce Shields.
That's right.
Gunston.
And then the ones Gunston. They got in, like O'Meara and Mitchell, they've got them in, I reckon, Howie, because they didn't want to slip too far down the ladder. And so they got them in as ready-made young players, not unknowns, but not, you know, fully ready to go, but, you know, sort of in the middle there. They've got them in, so they didn't drop too far. I reckon their thinking, or his thinking, was, hey, we don't want to go all the way back to the bottom. We're happy to drop, you know, out of the top four or something like that, and we'll cop that, and that's what they're trying to do.
And those two are great. Those two young players, don't get me wrong, they could develop this particular skill. They're very good accumulators. I'm not so sure they're great decision makers just yet or great ball users just yet. Now, that could, as I said, they could get better in that area.
I think Mitchell's smart, though. You talk about footy intel. I think he's good at that. Okay. Yeah, from my information is he's a pretty smart thinker on the field. So.
Yep.
Not unlike Sam.
No, and we saw what he did in the grand final alone last year, didn't we? He stood up when it really absolutely counted. Yeah, but he's still amongst the best on the ground when the siren...
What about the Cats, on the other hand? What are we thinking? Where are we thinking they are? I heard you say before, Duck, that you thought so far that, you know, yeah, they've still won the three games, but yeah, you're not convinced.
No, they're not playing great footy. They've had their lapses. Kangaroos should have beaten them. They came back late. They won that game. But their reliance, geez... I tell you what, Joel Selwood, and I know we're talking to him today, he has been, are we?
Scott.
No, sorry, that's Scott Selwood.
His brother.
Oh, well, anyway, I knew it was a Selwood.
He might know a bit about him.
Yeah, but his last quarters and Dangerfield's last quarters to win games for them, even now, this early in the year, is unbelievable. But for me, just too reliant on those guys. I still don't think that middle rung of players for Geelong have stepped up. Blixarves, after winning his best and fairest, has not been anywhere near that level again. And there are other players, the Duncans and these guys, just haven't gone to where we think they could get to. And a lot of talk about Harry Taylor. And I think we spoke about this the other day, BT. The one thing that, on Saturday, the one thing that Harry Taylor does is he will drag an opponent out and he makes his opponent go with him.
So
and
he's making it better for
Tom Hawkins. So Tom Hawkins gets the one-on-ones rather than the third man up. So, you know, he's playing a role. I'd like to see him get a bit more of the ball, and when he does get it, maybe kick it a bit straighter. But
if they were playing a final tomorrow, would Harry Taylor play back or forward?
It's a good question. It'll depend on what sort of form and what sort of goal-kicking form they were in and how offensive they
Well, let's say the current previous. Form. So let's say round four is the first final.
Well, they've won all the games, so I'd say they'd probably start him forward.
What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I would have thought they probably would have gone back and put him in defence because they know he plays really well there. He hasn't played brilliant footy. He's served a purpose and played a role, which Duck has just pointed out, but I wouldn't have thought he's been brilliant with the
no, play. He hasn't.
Yeah.
No.
And so you'd go for probably the safe bet in a final.
I like the way Chris Scott is just doing what he feels. He's not buying into or allowing the outside commentary to influence what he's doing, is
no,
he,
it's
Doug?
Good.
The question happened last year a few times. It certainly happened after round one and round two and again after round three leading into this particular game. But I expect him to start forward today. And at some stage, it's going to click in a way that is obvious to all of us, and he'll be seen to be the winner out of it.
Now, Howie, just moving on a little bit, you got into the car park all right, was it today?
I did get into the car park today, Brian.
Richmond car park. I don't know whether you're aware of Howie's
brilliance
as a footballer.
I'm not sure this is the right venue to be discussing this,
but,
Brian.
Howie, just coming over here at the let's say the Punt Road exit.
Yeah.
Now, Brian.
Over there at the Richmond. Football.
What are you alluding to here,
Brian?
And Howie sort of rocked up there, and there's a very strong security man there, and he says to Howie, "Got your part because you know they're doing rehab today down there at Tigerland." The jetted in. And so the car park's important for the Tiger boys down there. Howie's gone to the security man. I'm here.
Players only today, Doug.
Who are? Why haven't you got your player's pass?
Brian.
Oh, I've got my brother's card.
Oh, Brian.
He said, really? You see, mate, I've played 180 games at this point. I've played 180 games. and the guy's gone, okay. Good on you.
Well, come in.
It got to the awkward point where I thought I was going to have to tell him how many goals I kicked, Duck, because he still didn't look convinced on the 180
games. I'm glad he didn't get you out and size you up.
Yeah. I had the long sleeve jumper on, Duck. Don't worry about that.
What about you coming into security today underneath the MCG,
is,
Duck?
It's
pretty tight now. We're a bit worried about things.
It is very tight. But we're getting wandered down.
Which is
all well and good. But one of the gentlemen down there today saw an empty can.
Coke can?
No, it's like a... energy drink, can.
Jim B.
And it was empty. No, it was empty. And he said, can I have a look at that empty can? And I said, it's an empty can. And he said, can I have a look at it? So sort of gave it to him and I made him put it in the bin once he realised it was empty. But why can't you have an empty can in your car?
It's a little strange, Howie.
You've got your bag sitting over there. BT, my bag sitting on the passenger seat with all of my notes. And,
Duck, this is for our safety, mate. This is
but
all
they
for
didn't,
our safety.
But they didn't check my bag, and yet he wanted to check an empty can.
It's a random thing.
Oh, okay.
Are you using legal passes?
Yeah, this is a very salient question because
the Laminator was going at overdrive last year.
Apparently, had your own photocopier.
Photocopier and Laminator, Howie.
And it was just punching them out, Brian.
I'm telling you. Go one more word on this.
Maverick Weller.
It's libelous, defamatory, and the whole, it'll be a full book.
Yesterday, Duck, you and I were at Etihad Stadium to see a gutsy win by the St Kilda Football Club over the Pies by 14 points. Our next guest, 20 disposals at 80%. His name is Mav Weller. He joins us on the line now. Mav, thanks for joining us on the Monday Rub. How are you going?
Yeah, good, boys. Thanks for having me.
Great to speak to you. A bit of a shaky start to the season, but two wins in a row now and a good tight win over the Pies yesterday. You must wake up this morning with a smile on your face.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to get a win. Yeah, it was frustrating at the start of the season, but that we were playing the right way. We're a bit unlucky. We shouldn't have won the Melbourne game. We're probably a bit unlucky over West Coast. Just shot ourselves in the foot with a bit of inaccurate goalkeeping. But it's been a good start so far.
So what's Spud adding to the situation down there, Mav?
Bugger all, whistle.
Yeah, he's just no good, is he?
He's just causing trouble.
Yeah, yeah, and he reckons you're the second best looking of the Wellers. Is that he reckons you've got love bites in the mirror? Is that how do you respond to that?
Oh, what do you reckon, mate? No. Yeah.
We're having trouble hearing you on the phone there, Mav. So just keep that phone close to the mouth. But what's Richo got you doing? He's got you playing as a forward. I thought it was an area where you could get the Pies yesterday, and you did with your ground level forward pressure?
Yeah, playing high half forward. Played a bit more time in the midfield, a bit more than I'd like yesterday, but just that high pressure half forward. And we seen it as a bit of an area that we could get an advantage with their tall defenders back there. We got a lot of sort of smaller blokes, so we sort of took that into the game, and I think we did really well with the forward half sort of ground balls and got on top in the end.
Yeah, I agree. You're
gone.
Sorry, I agree. I thought that your forward line was probably the difference. That's where clearly Collingwood struggled, and Bruce was terrific. Membry and obviously Riewoldt played a little bit more time forward yesterday, BT, rather than up in the middle of the ground, and I thought that's where you got a real advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to have Rui down there. I know he likes to. He thinks he's a rejuvenated midfielder now, but he's done his caper in the forward line. It's good to have him down there and the big fellas kicking goals.
Mav, Paddy McCartan has now missed two of the four games, and I know he's always carried expectation, but probably fair to say that 2 years and four games into his AFL career, it hasn't quite gone as he would have liked to have gone. What do you make of it, mate? And what are you doing personally with him as one of the leaders of the club?
Yeah, look, younger players come to the competition. They are finding their feet. And for Paddy, he's starting to realise what his sort of strengths and weaknesses are. And he's a big fella, and he needs to use his body and be that big aggressive key forward that we want. But it's just about finding a bit of consistency with him. I think everyone would see that they've seen glimpses of Paddy and what he can do, and it's pretty special. So, like any young player, there's ups and downs with a bit of form. And right at the minute, when he was in the senior team, he wasn't playing up to expectation. It's the same decision for everyone that sort of is playing for us.
But, Mev, do you feel he's burdened by the number one draft pick that he was? Do you feel that we'd be seeing a different Paddy McCartan if he was number 37, for instance?
No, not performance wise. No, I don't think so.
Is it just a commitment to the contest every single time that's a main issue?
Yeah. I mean, Paddy's. I think he goes hard at the footy. You've seen last year with his concussion and stuff like that. But
yeah.
It's just a young bloke just trying to find a bit of form. And since being dropped, he's gone back and really trained hard. I think he's really starting to work out what where he sort of fits in with what he can do and what he can't do. And if he can be that big aggressive key forward, Tommy Hawkins sort of style that we're after, he's going to be a pretty special player.
So you've got the forward line working pretty well. Naturally, it can improve. The defensive line is pretty good as well, especially with the two talls and Carlisle and Brown both working for you. you're only one player off getting your best midfield out there as well, Mav. I think Jack Stephen is probably due to come back next week. Have you? There's no one else that would be a walk-up start in your team that's not playing at the moment, is there?
No, yeah, you obviously got Jackie Stephen, probably our best player, and then Toby Stevens isn't far away either. Yep. He got hit with a salmonella up in Albury for the NAB Cup, so he lost a bit of weight, and he's sort of coming back now and had a really good game of the weekend. But no, it's pretty full strength at the moment, this.
I want to ask you about Jakey Carlisle. He's just starting to play some good footy, and we heard Woosher say on the weekend, BT, that the players that have been out for the year, they might have hit the wall, and I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later. You obviously train with him. How do you think he's travelling at the moment? Because you are obviously only four games into the season. Does he seem like he's running on top of the ground, or do you feel like he's getting a little bit tired?
No, I don't think so. I think he's had a fair rest, but he's quite rejuvenated, I reckon. He's looking forward to each game of footy, sort of like those younger sort of blokes do. But no, I don't think he's hitting a wall. And I think, the time will sort of tell with that. It might be later on in the year, and we may choose to rest him or just sort of give him a lighter couple of weeks. But at the moment, he's sort of no sign of slowing down. And he's been fantastic. Him and Nathan Brown have just been fantastic for us. And Jakey in particular, since coming in, and he's obviously had a rough trot and a few things go wrong, but he's just, since coming back to the club, he's just been fantastic with how he's applied himself, and he's seen the benefits from it now.
Mav, we worked with Paul Ruse on a Sunday, and he's quickly become, called in the Triple M box, the Zen Master. He's big into meditation, etc., etc. As I know you are, and I really like athletes that are prepared to do things different, Brian, and not be prepared to hide away from it. So, Mav, visualisation and meditation, this is not something that happened in Brian's day, but can you tell us about it in all seriousness and tell us what it brings to your footy?
I didn't do anything like Bruce.
No, we didn't go the meditation role, Mav.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, I just find it's helpful for me just with the anxiety of footy and sort of clearing your mind and staying focused on what you sort of need to be focusing on. It's a way that you don't have to, get out in the park and be putting load through your legs, and you can actually still do it in your mind and, rehearse certain things in the game. And, yeah, I just find it sort of works for me, and if it does, then you sort of keep doing it.
Because you are a bit of a... You're wound up like a two-bob watch every now and then, aren't you, Mav? You've got a lot of excitement about it, a lot of enthusiasm, and a lot of impatience. All these things are good because you want to do it now and do it well, but you are a little bit like that, and I'm led to believe that they've just had to slow things a little bit with you. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. No, I can get a bit carried away, and it's probably more off-field than on-field. I just need to sort of relax when I go home and, at the club and that sort of stuff, and learn to sort of smell the roses a bit.
What's the situation at home at the moment, Mav? All going well there?
All going well. We're just settling on a house now, mate.
Oh, good.
About to move out of the in-laws' house.
Very good. Yeah. That's good, Howie.
Yeah, that is good. All right, Mav, anything else to add to us today, or are you pretty much done with us?
Nah, I'm done with you.
All right, Mav. Appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us Easter Monday, mate. And well done to the Saints. Two in a row next 4 weeks. The big ones, Geelong, Hawthorn, GWS, Carlton. Good on you, Mav.
Cheers.
So you have to up your mind to this type of thing, Brian. I can just see you when I'm asking those questions shutting down. This is the way the new athlete prepares themselves, Brian. And I like the new athletes not afraid to hide away from it.
One of our colleagues here on Triple M.
Oh, sorry, Duck. Just ignore what I was just saying.
Yeah, I'm about to back up what you just said, Howie, if you listen.
All right.
The Duck does do that.
Yeah, I know.
One of our colleagues here on Triple M, and also ours at Channel 7, Luke Darcy, meditates in the morning and of an afternoon every day.
Well, he bought a meditation facility over in Bali.
Well, there you go. He's bought his own meditation capsule. So he's a meditator.
He does. Brian, this is unique. I don't think he opens his mind to this, Damon. I think he's a little bit old school.
We did a bit of yoga in our day.
Right. And what type of yoga did you do, Brian?
We did yoga.
Was it your Bikram in the hot room, or you're more traditional?
No, traditional.
Okay, Brian.
You're a non-believer, BT, aren't you?
Hey?
You're old school, aren't you?
Oh, just come on.
Well, give us your real thoughts on it, Brian.
Would you do it? Would you do it for the benefit of Triple M one day?
Meditation.
And could we film it?
Meditation.
Could we get you with Mav Weller one day and run a camera upon what we may see. Can we do that for Triple M purposes?
Well, Brian, what's your problem with it? What's your problem with these young men trying to improve themselves and then be the best they can?
Just firm up in the mind a bit and you won't need the extra meditation facility.
Damien, you taught me as we started the Friday huddle on a Friday night that on this station we can't avoid the uncomfortable. Sometimes we need to discuss the uncomfortable, and there's something which I'm not sure we need to discuss, but you feel there's something you need to bring to the table that is a little, probably leave someone here a little on edge.
Well, I just was watching the coverage yesterday on TV, and I noticed that our man, Big Bristol, was sitting next to a man who once coached him and left him out of a grand final team, a winning grand final team back in 1990, Lee Matthews. And even with volume down as it was at times, Howie, just observing the body language of our man Bristol alongside Lee Matthews, it was fascinating TV. In fact, it was better off watching it without sound up.
That's because the sound up told the real story, and that is that I was comfortably winning the argument and having my say above Lethal Lee.
Even you, BT, as good as you are in an argument, you would never win one against Lee Matthews. And how was it though, BT? Because you did crack the you-know-whats back in 1990, and you then wrote that book that we broadcast on Triple M on a weekly basis back in 2009 about how angry you were with Lee Matthews. How is it when you do find yourselves together, probably more so in the ad breaks than what you do on air?
Damo, just going back to 1990, just a few years.
It was bad blood, BT. He left you out. You played in the final that got them into the grand final, but you weren't good enough in Lee's eyes to play in the big game. And you cracked it. You cracked it, and you revealed the whole year's secrets in that book you wrote.
And no, I didn't crack it, and I didn't reveal anything.
Oh, yes, you did.
But we get on really well now.
Do you?
Don't we?
Now, yeah, how long did it take? Did it take 25 years of the 27 since?
No, it took for Lee to come out of the coaching ranks.
Okay, so 2008-ish?
He was wound up in all that, as you do, with the coaches. It totally consumes you. And then a couple of years out of that, and then he's back into normal life, into the media, and he's smiling again, and he's actually really good company, Duck, as you'd know now. And I've been to the snow with him a couple of times, up skiing.
Did you have to raise what you did?
I've raised it a couple of times, and he didn't see it the way I saw it.
No one did, BT.
But he was all right. He's good with it all. No problems at all. I got no issue with it. I've moved on, Damo.
Were you a bit awkward yesterday?
Not at all. No,
I thought you were. I think you should look back at it.
We're incredibly comfortable at the moment.
It's a fascinating study, Damo, because the more you work in this industry, quite rightly so, there's some genuine, wonderful athletes that have fair egos with them, and they cross people along the way. And then in the back of the media boxes, these people are sometimes forced to work together or in close proximity to each other. Brian, things can get a little bit edgy at
times. We get on really well, and I enjoy his company now, and he's changed, and it's good fun. And yesterday we happened to be talking about the best centre forwards of the 2000s, of which Duck didn't quite qualify, and Lee was having his say and I was having mine, and we both ended up with the same 1, 2 and 3.
So do you think, looking back though, that he made the right decision with that grand final?
No,
Brian?
No, I don't.
Right.
No, he didn't, because I would have... Well, I probably would have kicked 6 on that day. And one thing that wouldn't have happened is Gavin Brown wouldn't have got knocked out by Terry Danaher.
Right. What would you have done?
Well, no. Terry would have been not playing on Gavin Brown. Gavin Brown would have been playing in the midfield somewhere, probably, more than likely.
But Gavin Brown was a key part of what happened in that season and that game.
You reckon Terry Danaher at fullback is going to go chasing Gavin Brown up on the ball?
You might have weighed down the game plan on the day for Collingwood.
Sounded pretty confident he would have kicked 6,
anyway,
to be honest, Damien.
I'm not dirty about it. Those that played, congratulations. Well done. And, I've moved on.
The modern-day Pies, Damien.
Well, premierships aren't everything. I mean, the Duck gets around and goes, I'm going to come. And he thinks he's going real good. But they're not everything. Richo and I often have a conversation about how premierships don't really matter.
Don't they?
How do you feel about that, Duck?
Oh, they're the only thing that matters.
Would you have been less aggro, do you think, in your life since, had you won the premiership?
No. There's a fair probably study to say that I might have got out of control.
Moving on to the 2017 Pies, Howie, as you said, issues aren't there with the 1-3 scoreline and a really lethargic effort. And I know you guys covered it for various media yesterday with the 55-69 point scoreline against St Kilda yesterday, but quite a few issues out of it. I want to get Duck. I know you discussed it yesterday as it happened and unfolded, but just that the Scott Pendlebury situation, where in the third quarter when the game had to be won, there was a goal of difference at half time, spent nearly half the quarter on the interchange, and Nathan Buckley explained why that was the case post match.
Now, Pendles probably wasn't as sharp as he has been the first three rounds, and you know, we put a lot of emphasis on our leaders, and we ask a lot of them, and yeah, but that's not something that they resolve from. It's, you know, if you're going to be a leader in this caper, you've got to keep buttering up and keep backing up. But we can definitely have greater support around them, and I think that's been a relative positive for us. But we, you know, we were disappointed with that tonight. But Pendles, yeah, for more often than not, he brings the right intent and energy, and he's probably a little bit quieter tonight. I didn't think our mids were anywhere near where they had been. Like that last 10 minutes, our mids got to work.
I just wonder why then, in that case, so you bring him off, yep, good decision, have a chat with him, see if you can fire him up. He's your best player, he's your best mid. St Kilda kicked 4-2 in that third quarter. Why you wouldn't then put him back out there and say, now listen, mate, We need you to find something. We need you to get this group together and get things happening. What would 15 minutes off the ground do?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I'm sure he's challenged him before, and that exact conversation. Clearly, look, Bucks knows Pendlebury better than anyone, and I've never heard, I've never ever heard Bucks speak in a negative way at all ever about Scott Pendlebury. So, interesting, you're right, but they did the one area that you just thought they could nearly pinch this game was the fact that in and around the footy, they had the opportunity. They just lack forwards, you know. Darcy Moore's a 21-year-old.
Is it as simple as that, Duck, though, in your eyes?
In my eyes, it is.
So get a forwards plural, and they're okay.
Get forwards. They had Elliot came back in, hadn't played since 2015, I think it was.
Correct.
You know, so he was always going to be a little bit underdone. They've got a 21-year-old up there. They've got a guy by the name of Jesse White who, you know, we know he's not... He's never going to win games for you. He plays like a half-forward flanker.
Yeah.
Fasolo was really good the week before. Kick straight. His kicking boot, not quite there. Could have missed a couple. He should have kicked.
Showed glimpses.
So all of a sudden, they just lack the ability to kick a score. I think their defence has stood up really, really well. And I think it might have been you, BT, before we came on air today, talk about, you know, the man in the opposition, Brown, yesterday. If he's still at Collingwood, well, then maybe you're able to throw Reed forward, that gives Darcy Moore a little bit, you know, a little bit of support up there, and you know, so
it's a bit like what Essendon are doing at the moment with Joe Danaher. They've got Carl Hooker there, purely to take a bit of pressure off Danaher, I would have thought, and take an opponent away and stop them peeling off as well. And it's probably a good thing. Whereas Darcy Moore hasn't got the comfort of someone else with experience playing in the same forward line that's going to at least draw some moderate attention.
Well, again, without wanting to go over a decision that was made and has already been analysed, but the decision to remove Cloke, BT, I mean, it's almost as if Darcy Moore's crying out for someone like that right now. Is that fair to say?
I would say they could probably do with someone like that at the moment, but I think that situation had evaporated.
And run its race,
he
got dropped three times in the year, so let's not forget he got dropped and start saying that he'd be, you know, good back at that club. They're doing a lot of things right.
You say that, Duck, but this is now the sixth year under Nathan Buckley, where statistically they have gone down every single year. They're now into this year, and they are 1-3, having put up a pretty ordinary effort yesterday after a reasonably good one, or even to say we go with a very good one the previous week against Sydney.
When I say a lot of things right, I'll say the way their attack on the footy, they've got a great on-ball brigade, they've got guys that have a go. But for me, looking at Collingwood, and we've been saying this for a number of years, I look at them, I look at the way St Kilda play. We've watched Hawthorn over the years. We watched the Cats. You know how a team plays, a style. We watched the Bulldogs. And I look at Collingwood and I say, to me, their game plan is fairly simplistic. If they don't bring manic pressure in and around the footy and tackle, they lose.
They're not good enough.
They're not good enough. Yep. And other than that, And that first quarter last week against Sydney, where they sliced Sydney open with precision kicking, and they were absolutely brilliant. And I never, that's probably the best quarter I've seen them play. Didn't probably get that extra goal or two, but other than that, BT, do you know what sort of game plan they have?
No, I don't. But they've got Essendon and Carlton over the next 3 weeks, so there is some sort of chance if they can, as you say, bring that pressure to bear.
But pressure isn't a game plan.
No, I know. But if they can bring that, they can win. You can actually win with it, they showed last week.
Yeah. But it's not a game plan, is it?
No.
It's not a style.
Not sustainable.
No.
We've now got four matches in 2017 in this very, very crunch year for Nathan Buckley and the footy club. Have we seen any form of improvement, Duck, to think that he's going to be there in 2018?
Look, I've always
said, I know it's only four games.
I've always said it's only four games. You'll be judged on W's and L's, and the way things are looking for Bucks, you know, you almost say it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time.
He'll be judged near the end of the year. And, you know, if they win enough, he'll stay. If they don't, he won't.
What's enough, BT?
Oh, I reckon finals.
Yeah. Which is what he said.
So he's got to win.
So the chance,
12, 13
so
games.
So the chances of him playing finals are what?
12 or 13 games.
So the chance of him playing finals are what?
With the start they've had?
Yep.
But that's why I said to you, pointed out, they've got Carlton and Essendon in the next 3 weeks. They are quite capable of winning both of those games because I reckon they're about similar sort of level.
Okay, let's give them those
all
two.
All of a sudden, they could be
three and four.
Yeah.
Or three and four.
Yeah. Because they'll probably lose to the one in between, which is Geelong. Yeah.
Well, 3 and 4 is not going to get it done.
No, but it's not far off being 50-50. I reckon every coach that's battling for a spot in the top eight, with the exception of the guns that are looking to win the premiership that year, if you can be...
Halfway or round 14.
Yeah, if you can be 50-50 at any stage during the year, you've gone all right, I reckon.
Such an even competition too this season. We look at 2 weeks ago, everyone was saying Ross Lyon, 4 years was too long, they won their last two. The Gold Coast were moving to Tasmania 2 weeks ago. All of a sudden, they're square with the equation. But the way it's looking at the moment, Damien...
Damo, you know how things work behind the scenes. Do you think that there would be any... Is there any action in the back room at Collingwood?
Look, the spectre of the man who sits in this Triple M box on Sundays with Duck is the big question, isn't it? And I don't expect Eddie McGuire to be picking up the phone to asking him the question, but I would have little doubt that if Eddie gets his head around that situation, that Nathan Buckley is not going to be there, that a conversation of types will be had with someone who represents Collingwood in an arm's length way. So there's that issue, but...
You're talking about Paul Roos.
Paul Roos, sorry, I thought I'd mention his name. Sorry, no. Paul Roos, sorry. I feel, though, BT, that ideal world for Collingwood, if it's make finals or not make finals, it's Nathan Buckley still coaches in round 23 this year.
Yeah, I do too. He coaches all year. He's going nowhere. Let's wait. Let's wait until halfway through the year, find out where they're going to finish. You know, we'll know roughly then. But you're right. Regardless, he is the sort of guy, and you've heard people say this before, that when Nathan Buckley thinks he can't improve Collingwood anymore, he'll be the first person to put up his hand and say, look, I think I've done all I can.
Is he wired, though, to think that is an impossibility, though, BT? Isn't he someone who's always going to be thinking that he can improve?
I think he still believes now he can improve the side. But let's give him the time that he's been granted. Yep. And as I said before, I reckon he'd be the first guy to put up his hand if he hits a dead end.
It is enough time, isn't it, too? That he's had.
By the end of this year.
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't think anyone could say it's not enough time for him to have implemented, Duck and Howie, the changes that he's chosen to make, both culturally and team selection-wise and team balance-wise. He's had enough time, I think, to work it out. And the time is right now. It's going into round five in 2017.
Last night, a 52-point victory, Duck.
Stall gift coming up
at about 2:10, I think.
Yeah, so not far away. Not far away.
Yeah, so that should be fantastic. The prelim race has been run and won at the moment. But last night up at the Gabba, a 52-point demolition job of the Brisbane Lions was done by the Tigers, and one of the stars of their efforts so far this year, Dion Prestia, joins us. Welcome to you, Dion.
Hey, fellas. How you going?
We're going very well. Now, you're just buzzing along quite nicely at the moment, going well. What was it, 20-odd touches again last night?
I feel good at the moment. Yeah, our body's holding up pretty well compared to last couple of years. So, building into the season nicely, I feel.
Are you sure about that? I was watching you last week. You looked a little bit sore and tentative to me. You feeling good?
Everything's going really well. So, just had a little checkup last week just to make sure everything was going well after a couple of months. And it's been a great start to the year.
Absolutely, Dion. Well done. I tell you what, that little mosquito fleet that you've got up there at the moment, Constania, Butler, Rioli. Now you're going to get you're going to get inconsistencies from them because they're all young players. Have played a handful of games between them almost, but the pressure that they put on and the fact that they're hitting the scoreboard right now just makes you guys so potent. And even obviously Jack Riewoldt contributed last night, and he's had a quiet start to the year. So you get them all firing at the one time, and it's pretty potent.
Yeah, I think that's a positive that we can take out. I feel that we're probably not haven't been at our best in the first couple of games, so we still got a long way to improve. But yeah, as you said, those three small forwards have been really, really impressive this year. So they all haven't fired at once, and there's always one that steps up and kicks his three or four, which has been really good. And their pressure around the footy has been unbelievable. It's probably won us a couple of games as well, just setting the standard for us. And yeah, Jack had a good one last week, but he's also one that can improve during the year.
Hey, who's the quickest out of the three of those guys? Constania, Butler and Rioli. Who would be the quickest over 50?
I think Dan Butler. I think he's probably the quickest, and it looks like he's not even trying. So I like to see him when he's going full tilt.
Hey, Dion, you've been in the AFL system since 2011. So until this year, you've watched from afar the burden that often is the case of being a Richmond footballer and what has happened to Richmond over the journey. How have you found it now that you've actually joined it? Are you aware of it? Do you feel it? Do you feel almost the sense of something bad's about to happen after the good four-zip start? And are you doing anything about it to try and keep everyone, I suppose, focused away from what that is?
No, I don't feel that there's any burden. They played finals the last couple of years, and obviously last year they didn't make it, which was disappointing for them. But that was the reason why I chose Richmond in the end. I felt that their list was still strong and pretty young, which could see success in the next couple of years. But you know, we couldn't really get a better start than what we've had at the moment, going 4-0, and we've got a couple of big challenges the next couple of weeks, which will keep us grounded, that's for sure. But we know there's a long way to go. You know, no one's made finals winning four games, so it's obviously in a good position, but we still got a long way to go, and I feel we got a lot of area to improve on to keep that consistency going.
And just on a non-Richmond footy club matter, Harley Bennell, a man you spent a lot of time with at the Gold Coast Suns, had another off-field issue that we'll talk about later on as a group here in the Triple M box. But have you kept up with him, and do you feel that he's now on a last chance?
Yeah, I was really close with Harley when we were together on the Gold Coast, and it's disappointing to see what's happened over the last couple of days. But probably over the last couple of years while he's been at Fremantle with his calf injuries. But I haven't talked to him recently, but I know I've heard that he's been training really, really hard over the pre-season, and he was doing that on the Gold Coast. He was super fit when he was always there. So hopefully he can get over his calf injuries and get back to playing some good footy, because he's a gun of a player.
Yeah, he is, very much so. What about yourself? Are you happy now you're back in Victoria with family and friends surrounding?
Yeah, that was obviously the reason why I wanted to get back to Melbourne, just to be around my family a lot more. And obviously joining a massive club like Richmond is awesome. There's always Richmond fans and supporters everywhere around Australia. So, I'm really enjoying my footy at the moment. Obviously, win helps out and... Yeah, just loving being back and with my family, yeah.
And you're living in a city close by to the MCG, aren't you?
Yeah, we're just in Richmond there, so yeah. Nice little trips to training, which is nice.
Now, look, Damo mentioned Harley Bennell, Dion, but you've also spent time playing alongside Gary Ablett. Do you think, having known him the way you do you think there is a chance that he'll end up not being at Gold Coast next year?
I'm not really sure.
Yes, you are.
He's contracted for the next couple of years, but it's up to him. What's best for him and his family. I know he's still got family down in Geelong and in Melbourne, so I'm sure Gaz will make the right decision for himself, and I hope he makes the right one, because I'm very close to Gaz, and we had a really strong relationship up there, so I think all the press he got the last couple of weeks was pretty unfair, and he's proved that he's still a great player.
The human meatball, this is, Howie.
I love it.
Dion
love
Prestia.
It. How many can you eat in one sitting, Dion, if you sat down and really put your mind to it?
How many meatballs?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't really had a lot of meatballs, just BT. Just giving me a bit of crap.
Bit of stick.
Yeah, we're used to it in this box too, Dion.
Another Assumption College boy, Howie.
Is he?
Dion, yeah.
A football factory, is it, Brian?
Out of the factory out there at Assumption. Well, let's put it this way. It used to be.
Dion, we appreciate your time. For Zip the Tigers, you take on Melbourne. I reckon it's Monday night next week at the MCG. So good luck with that. Thanks for joining us on the Sunday Rub.
Thank you. Have a good one.
What about the Crows? What do you make of the Crows at the moment, boys?
Flying. Brilliant.
Above anybody else?
I think they've been the most consistent team. Given what they did at GWS in round one,
yes.
they hit the ground running.
Without Walker.
That was without Walker. And Walker, who came back, had a quiet first half in that game against the Hawks. Then in the second half, he has been brilliant since then, BT. And that combination between Tex and also Eddie Betts has been absolutely superb. So they're flying.
Yeah. So we'll keep going here for a sec. But what is it about the Adelaide Crows that you think that you're confident that they're going to get the job done?
Oh no. Well, it's early on in the year, BT. Right now, the concern for me, I think every side over the last couple of years is you have your really good periods. Everyone has a little bit of a down spot during the year. And right now, Adelaide are the form team of the comp. They're running on top of the ground. They'll have a flat spot. The key to it's not a sprint. We're not at the stall gift here. This is the AFL season is a marathon. They're playing the best footy right now. They've got to sustain that or be at that at the end of the year.
They were pretty good last year, weren't they, Duck? Only late in the home and away season, BT, they went from having the double chance to not having it. But in the end,
terrible in the end.
Didn't matter. In the end, they were.
But they
held it up for a long time. And I think with the second year of a full coaching situation with Don Pike and clearly Taylor Walker, now that he's fully, I know it's been a number of years now, but fully over that
Charlie
issue.
Cameron going in the midfield as
He's been massive.
He's been
Sloan is in great form.
Yeah. Jake Lever back in the side had looked ultra impressive the other night, didn't he?
He did.
I didn't think they could play Lever, Otten, Talia, and I think there's one other tally sort of players. I didn't think they could play them all on the one side, but they've proved they can very adequately.
Otten's been important, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Particularly with Jenkins being out, and he will be back either this week or the week after, you'd think. So McGovern out, so they've got a lot of upside still to come.
Time to welcome to the box a man that has done the ultimate in AFL football four times, four-time premiership player, Grant Birchall, the Tasmanian Flyer, unfortunately not playing at the moment with a bit of a situation with his jaw. He joins on the Sunday Rub. G'day, Birch.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Well, great to see you. Unfortunately, you're not playing today. Just tell us, how's the recovery coming along?
Yeah, recovery's coming along pretty well. This is the second week now, so I've been able to do some good conditioning work. The frustrating thing is that I can't do any contact stuff for a while. So, hopefully another couple of weeks out of the game and I'll be back soon.
What's going on, Birch?
It sort of sucks when you have an injury like that because you can still do all the running.
Yeah.
And you get absolutely flogged
at
the moment.
Yeah, so I've had a couple of good sessions and it's better to say I'll be pretty fit once I come back.
What's going on, Birch? 0-3 coming in Easter Monday. It's an unfamiliar position for the club in the last 5 or 6 years. It must be frustrating sitting on the outside looking in as well, I would have thought.
Yeah, it's not an ideal start to the season. We were really, really disappointed with our effort inside the contest last week. Going through some vision and that this week, we were pretty disappointed. And, I'm pretty sure the boys will be ready to go today and have a red-hot crack.
How have you found the talk, Grant? Obviously, for most of the time under Alistair Clarkson, it's all been positive. And yet, three games into a new season, one where you came off a non-grand final performance in 2016, but the narrative's changed, hasn't it, significantly? How have you found it, particularly now that you're all effectively on the outside too from a playing perspective?
Oh, yeah, look, I think it's just part of it all, really. It's just the business that we're in. Everyone's got an opinion. Look, it's just the way it is. Whether you're playing really well, everyone will pump you up. And if you're playing not so well, there's going to be people out there, they're going to pot you. So that's just part of it all. We've just got to focus on what we got to do and that is, you know, playing well and preparing well for each week.
How was it, though, when you first walked in late last year for the pre-season for 2017 without the great friends and mentors and leaders in Mitchell and Lewis? I mean, Wayne Carey before said it was 40% of the intel's gone as well out of Hawthorn. How was that first day, and how is it now that life, you know, has well and truly begun without them?
Yeah, look, they're two quality players, two great leaders of the footy club. And they, yeah, they are very intellectual, and they have a fair amount of say through meetings and all that sort of stuff. But we've got great depth of leadership throughout the footy club. And look, without those two guys, yeah, it's been a little bit different, but
given
really
what,
confident.
Given
in the,
what's happened, Birch, do you feel any more secure or insecure knowing that that's what can happen to even four-time premiership players, that if you're not on your money or you're getting a little bit long on the tooth, that you're all expendable?
Yeah, no, I think I feel very secure. We've got great players around us. We've got great leadership, great experience. So I feel fine.
I didn't mean personally you, but I mean all players, you know, given what's happened with, you know, Mitchell and Lewis going, obviously means that, you know, clubs are willing to trade anyone if they're going to trade two of your best.
Yeah, that's right. That's the business we're in. So these sorts of things happen.
Has there been a lot of discussion in and around the way you play? The fact that, you know, those players, you've built your game, so many left footers, just precision kicking, you know, your use of the footy. Has that changed in any way? Has there been discussions about that having to change because you're not as good in that area right at the moment. So do you have to change things?
We change things weekly depending on the opposition, but no, we pride ourselves. That's our main strength as a side, is obviously our ball use. But we haven't been able to get our hands on the ball enough over the past few weeks to give ourselves an opportunity to use the ball and kick a score. So yeah, that's the main message today: is get your hands dirty and try and control the game.
It's obviously hard, isn't it, Grant, for you to often talk about some of these issues we're raising with you now, given you're not playing. But on the back of what happened last week, a very un-Hawthorn-like performance against the Gold Coast Suns, was anything said during the week that was out of the ordinary from what's become a normal Hawthorn week in the lead up to this crunch game?
I'm not sure. I haven't been in the meetings, to be honest. I'm in rehab, but yeah, we were just really disappointed in our effort, particularly in and around the contest. That was the main theme out of last week's game, and yeah, that's something we really want to rectify today.
Is there a bit of coming into the group, a bit of a point to prove people that it's not gone past? Because obviously the AFL system is designed at having a period of success and then being pushed down. That's the way the whole system works. You guys extended that period for a long, long time, a lot more than any other club has done. Everything that's going on externally, and I know you guys say you don't pay attention to it, but we live in a world where you can't avoid it these days, mate. Does the group actually sit down and think, come on, we're not done and dusted here. There's still plenty in this footy group?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got, if you look at our list, it's still got an abundance of talent and really, really strong players. So, yeah, I don't think we're past it. We've been in a lot worse positions than this. I think we were 1-6 in 2010 and still managed a way to play in finals. So it's not all doom and gloom. We're zip and three, not ideal, but I'm pretty confident the guys will bounce back.
All right, Birch, we'll let you go. He looks like he's on the circuit today. He might be being trotted around a little bit today.
Oh, can I just ask him one more, little question?
Just a little one.
Birch, just you had a nice little Bucks trip, which went really, really well. But unfortunately, Brian, the captain on Port Phillip Bay got the boat lost. So the boys who wanted to get back to meet all their partners might have been 10, 15 or 4 hours late, Birch?
Yeah. It was meant to be 10 minutes late, but it ended up being about 4 or 5 hours.
Right. And how did the partners take that?
Not too crash
right, but it was the captain's fault at the time, wasn't it?
Completely Hodgie's fault.
This is why... Oh, the
captain of the club, or ex-captain.
I thought I was giving you an out there, but okay. Birch, we appreciate you coming and have a chat with us, mate. We can't wait to see you back out there.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Grant Birchall, joining us there. Just before we go to the break, we were just talking on Adelaide, Damo. I didn't really... got Duck's thoughts on Adelaide. What about yourself?
Oh, I love what I'm seeing. I really like the fact that Taylor Walker seems to have got himself fully over. I said it a moment ago. I know it's been a couple of years now, but that knee seems to be good. What he did in the first, I reckon, quarter and a half the other night was just pure dominant stuff, wasn't it? The way this man used to play himself. And look, Eddie Betts, when you kick 75 goals as he did last year, you don't need to speak any more highly of him. But They've got it going very, very nicely, BT. I mean, Rory Sloane, ask anyone who's had anything to do with him. He's as elite as they come in that space on the ground as well. So I love the way Dom Pike has come into that club, and I think now that he's had the full year under his belt, it's only going to be up for him and that club.
Just on Tex, not last year. He was voted last year the best captain by the Players Association, by the players. And then the year before that, I thought he should have been the All-Australian centre-half forward. I think they gave it to Jack Riewoldt in the end. I thought Tex, under a lot of duress that year with Phil Walsh.
215.
He's I reckon he's gone to a whole new level this year. He's really starting to come into his own now, Tex.
Which he was about to do, Duck, wasn't he? The day in which he went down in 2012 on this very ground. Yeah. And it did take him a fair while to get back from that. But I reckon we're back to that sort of form now.
You have your favourites, Duck, don't you? And you have the ones you don't like too.
What do you mean? You know, I don't dislike anyone.
You do. You have your little favourites.
Oh, jeez.
The Texan. Yeah, I have my favourites.
Oh, yeah. Wow. We.
And you have the ones you're not so enthralled
Bruce,
about.
Even
know?
Bruce is on
Clokey.
The great Bruce McAvaney. He's all over BT on a Friday night. Don't worry about that.
Damo's got some news through. Been a lot of talk about Jack Zeeble and what may happen for his bump on cloak. What has happened?
Via Patrick Keane of the AFL, Jack Zeeble has been cleared of contact with Travis Cloak. Cloak was in a kicking action. No forceful high contact and action. Not unreasonable in the circumstances.
So that means that not unreasonable in the circumstances covers that they didn't think it was late either.
Yeah, correct. I would read that into it, BT. We did it, slowed it down yesterday in there at Channel 9. And from the moment the ball left Travis Cloak's boot, Duck, it was one third of a second before which Zeeble made contact. And that clearly is effectively instantaneous, I would have thought. And having watched the way we did watch it and slow it down yesterday on Channel 9's footy show, I thought that was how they were going to adjudicate on that one, having initially thought it was going to be one that they might have cited.
Yeah, so did I, but there are plenty that thought that may have been cited. That'll be a talking point.
Yeah, it will. All right, well, if you're interested in the store gift and you know any of the runners in the store gift, which we don't, then listen in now, because here it is, the store gift.
Rizzo got a flyer again. Takes him a little while to balance up. Rialli got a good start. Rizzo, it's his to win at halfway. He's coming away from Rialli, who's running on well. But the favourite sails into the stall gift. Matthew Rizzo wins. Rialli ran on well. 12-12 is the time. He didn't rate 12, but it doesn't matter. From fifth last year to the champion.
Courtesy of Channel 7, Peter Donegan there calling all of the action. So that is the stall gift. Rizzo in gold has won the race there today. So well done to him. I think he pockets about 30 for that, doesn't he? 30 or 40?
Does he? Yeah.
Yep.
That's what he's up to.
Good effort. It's a bit of a funny thing, the old pro running, isn't it, Damo? Howie,
it's all about cheating, Brian.
Oh. Oh, well.
It is all about cheating the handicapper. That's what it is.
So you run and hope the handicapper doesn't. You
well,
don't run
you're
as hard
prepared
as you
during the season to run your fastest on stall gift day, Brian. If that means running slower during the season, anything
40,
we can bet
gets
on, Brian. Yeah. In that style situation, it's not the fastest runner in Australia, it's the cleverest runner, the cheekiest runner, the sneakiest runner.
He ran
runner.
Fifth last year, they said.
So he's exposed form, so Howie. What are you saying?
Fifth
last year, and then
how many
natural progression to win it as a young man this year?
I'm not going with natural progression, Damien. Anything that you can bet on, I'm not going with natural progression.
Ooh, okay, all right.
Clear, isn't it?
It is.
Anyway, that's a stall gift. It's a minor event. It's good for about 10 seconds. But then we move
about
on.
About 12.
The fact that we've waited until Monday afternoon, as we do for Match Review panel findings, this has been a bugbear of mine for so many years now. This was a Friday afternoon game that we've debated non-stop since it happened, and we're waiting until Monday 3 days later before we get an adjudication.
But is that because they sit all at the one time?
Yeah, it is. But everything else in our lives is instant, isn't it? Everything happens, everything's got an answer, everything's got a response straight away. Do we not get the results? It wouldn't take it too long to get for the AFL to have some people either on Friday night itself or at the very least by midday Saturday to sign off on what happens in the Friday night game.
Well, let's say Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It would mean you'd have to call in the
the panel four separate times.
We'd have to call them in, I wouldn't have thought. You just have them on duty. That's their job and that's their role.
No, but they've got to come in and see the video and everything.
Well, do they need to be briefed by someone as to how they should adjudicate?
No, I think they need to see every angle that is produced, and you could only see that from a studio, not from home.
Someone can package it up. There's computer boffins who would easily be able to package up the incidents in question at very short notice.
I'm not sure where you're coming from. I think it's common sense that they do them all together.
I think it would have been good for Jack Zeeble to know on Saturday morning rather than Monday afternoon.
Just the way it is.
He's sweet to play next week.
It's been like that for 100 years. The tribunals, before the match review, the tribunal always sat on a Monday or a Tuesday night. It's been like that for a long, long time, Damo. So
you want to keep us in the dark ages on this part of the game when everything else is attempting to move with the times.
I think it moves nicely. And just so you can have a quicker answer, I don't think there's any need.
Well, I've been big on it for a while, and I just really think that they should be able to give us a result of any game within a couple of hours of it. You know, and then, obviously, give yourself the right to then delve deeper into certain incidents and declare, OK, we are looking into this one deeper.
Harley Bennell.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, BT, isn't it? And Ross Lyon has gone out of his way to support him. Strangely enough, and I thought wrongly, and I had this same interview with Ross, as others did over the off-season, where he introduced the racism component to the commentary around Harley Bennell's calf injuries and off-field issues. We see in the last 48 hours where he's been barred from flying because of a condition relating to alcohol that was in play. And Ross Lyon, Duck, I know you spoke to him yesterday, and I thought he was really open about how he dealt with this issue with Harley Bennell, but clearly, having supported him to the absolute hilt, it's reaching some form of flashpoint now. But this is Ross Lyon in your interview yesterday on Triple M.
It's unfortunate that it's occurred, but there was no disruption on the flight, on the previous flight, on this flight. But obviously there was some signs of intoxication. He was asked to leave. So that's the basic detail. I still stand by Harley. We always support the person. He's had 60 weeks of rehab where he's been super. He's held himself together really well. Obviously he's had a bit of a slip, and that's all it seems at the moment. The AFL will work with our club on it. But yeah, we fully support Harley still. He needs to gather himself and come again. My concern's always our support the player and their welfare. But we challenge any behaviour that is not befitting of what we're after.
Do you think we'll see him play again?
It's got to be a doubt now, doesn't it? Because when Ross Lyon there refers to it now being a 12-week setback on top of the already 18 months that he's missed supposedly with this calf. And I say supposedly because, you know, it's a long calf injury, BT. Late 2015 was the last time he played a game of AFL footy. And we are now dealing with early 2017. Add 12 weeks to round 4, BT. Simple mathematics has that at round 16, basically. It's season over. You can't see him, I suppose, attaining and staying on schedule within the 12 weeks that Ross has just pulled out anyway, and then getting himself right for final rounds of 2017 with a potential view, as Ross would be seeing now, for finals. So,
what do you mean supposedly calf?
But there's so much going on in Harley's life, and I know that the Dockers will be listening to what I'm about to say here, but it's a very long calf injury, Howie, isn't it? And every time you raise something, I mean, this issue, this man was in a condition where he wasn't allowed to get on an aeroplane. I mean, how does that happen? How does that happen? We've been told that he hadn't drunk for a long period of time this year, BT. Well, that's well and good, but then the moment you do, you can't control it. So I don't like what I'm seeing. I mean, I'm sympathetic to what Harley's been through as the next person, but when things like this happen, you have to query it. And by way of contract, he's got 2018. So he will be on the list in 2018 in that form. But that's the only reason I would have thought, Howie. I don't think otherwise you'd bother with it.
I'm a sucker for a good story, and I always have been. And I've been, you know, I believe Lance Armstrong until he came out on Oprah, so I'll say that right up the front here. But when you hear Ross Lyon, and you heard in that grab say that he's been going through 60 weeks of rehab, if it is a calf issue, and if that's what it is, and you can only take the Dockers on what they say, so you believe that it's a calf issue, going through 60 weeks of rehab, as Ross said, you know, he's had a slip-up. Hmm. You can understand it. Is it the end of the world that a bloke's doing everything, if we trust the Dockers to what they say, to get back and play footy? He goes on the plane, he has too many beers, which is not a normal thing to get kicked off a plane.
Is it that hard to have some behaviour that allows you to get on a plane without being kicked off? Is it that difficult?
It's the wrong thing to do, but is that a reason to say that's him done and dusted from our footy club? Let's move him on.
Well, it's not reason, because Ross Lyon clearly has distanced himself from that being an outcome to this action. But when you add this to everything else that has gone on, and let's face it, the only reason he's at the Fremantle Dockers is because of behavioural issues that relate to off-field matters that the Gold Coast Suns chose not to tolerate any longer with.
They can't all be choir boys, though, can they?
No, they're not. And I think anyone who's had anything to do with Harley, and I've had a little bit to do with him, he's engaging and you want him to work. And I think you have too, haven't you, Duck, over there, June? I think I've heard you talk about it in the past.
But I agree with what Ross said. You know, you've got to support him. Clearly, he's had a tough time. And by the sounds of, I don't know everything that has gone on behind the scenes or whether it's to calf injury or other things, but clearly he's got things he needs to address. And you know what I love about Ross Lyon? I just love the fact that he's there to support him as a person, and let's hope he does. I'm with you. If he's contracted for next year, and let's say you write this year off, well, he's got a whole pre-season and a whole, you know, he's got some talent. I'd love to see him back at some point in time.
Ross Lyon, though, has been saying Harley's going to be right to go since round two of last year. He said it again in the offseason. He'll be right to go by round two of this year. We get to round two, not seen. We get to round four. Now it's out for 12
months. But I'm sure they were the updates probably given to him by the fitness staff, were they not?
Oh, yeah. But I think he was a bit economical with some of his explanations when mid-season last year he came out and said that effectively 2016 was going to be a write-off. And again, take him at his word that was purely and exclusively relating to the calf. But it's a long calf, BT. It's, by the time this 12 weeks is up, it's a two-year calf.
Damo, Duck, thought you'd be interested in talking about this. Maybe, you know, Brad Scott and how North Melbourne are travelling, but probably more on the Brad Scott side of things. You know, he's been there, is it 7 or 8 years now, Damo?
Eighth year. Yep.
Where do you think all that is fitting at the moment? They're in a rebuild. They've clearly announced that at the start of the year, that's what they were doing.
Loath to use that word, aren't they? Most clubs are. But BT, if you just look at what's happening, obviously 0-4 this year, and in the past couple of weeks have given up 4-plus goal leads against Geelong and Western Bulldogs. And we attribute here on Triple M Footy BT, Josh Kay put this out during the course of this game, that in matches decided by 1 to 6 points, under Brad Scott, there have been 4 wins and 14 losses in matches decided by a goal or less. That's just one thing I want to put on the table. Since round 9 last year, when North Melbourne were unbeaten, through to this very point, there have been 16 matches of football. Only 3 of those have been North Melbourne wins. It's a situation whereby North right now can and will say that the youth that they're playing is going okay. And okay, let's grant them that. But there have been 2 matches out of the 4 they've played this year where Brad Scott as coach was in a position to have them win the game of footy and didn't. I mean, you can't blame, I don't believe, the youth side of it when you're giving up 4 and 5 goal leads as they've had in the past 2 weeks.
Turner, Garner, Simpkin, these guys have come in, BT, and I think been really, really good. Been a big plus for them. The big Bruce, the ruckman, looks like he could be a player. So all of a sudden, they've given some youth. It's been a big turnover, but not unlike Hawthorn. They got rid of, you know, some of those older champions of their footy club, and they've been in every game, let's be honest. They could have easily beaten, well, they should have beaten Geelong.
Reckon they've got a really good inside team at the moment. Don't reckon they've got many
outside
finishers.
They lost Wells.
Mason Wood.
They lost Wells. Yeah. And that's why they're chasing, obviously, the young
Martin.
Man.
Kelly.
The young man, Kelly, from GWS. They need a little bit of that outside run. But, you know, I don't think they're in a, you know, they're losing. They have lost the games, you're right, Damo, but I think they're doing a pretty good job.
But are you saying, Damo, that, you know, 8th year for Brad Scott and Buckley's been looked at after, what is it, 6?
It's after, he's into his 6th, yeah.
That perhaps the focus is
How many years has the Kangaroos under his reign been in the finals? I think you'll find every year bar 2.
Yeah, bar 2. And there's 2 preliminary final years, as you point out.
He's that quick to sack around here,
No, I'm not saying at all sack. I'm just you're allowed to critique, though, Duck. And when you don't often get the luxury of 2 rebuilds at a footy club. Now, Alistair Clarkson, whether they want to use a rebuild or not, it's a different Hawthorn that's going on, but he's got 4 premierships behind him. With Brad Scott, and again, I fully endorsed what he was doing in 2014 and 15 when they finished in prelim final years and were hoping to do so again last year before it blew up. But you don't often get the luxury, do you, of having 2 rebuilds without the ultimate success. And that is effectively what's happening now with Brad Scott at North Melbourne. But if you're not going to win the games where you're 4 and 5 goals up, and when you then add them to what's happened in previous times, I think it's an issue. I mean, ultimately, you're the one who does endorse the win-loss component to coaches.
I totally agree. You get judged. There's only 2 types of coaches, those that have been sacked and those that are going to be sacked at some point in time. And I think he's doing a pretty good job. It's a big turnover. Yes, he'd like some more wins, but I think it's a little bit too soon to be jumping on Brad Scott. Like I said, two out of the 8 years that he's coached, he's taken the Kangaroos into finals, and this is a completely different looking team. So I'm endorsing Brad Scott.
Endorsing him with one of the great cliches too, Duck, about coaches. One's about to get sacked or the one that... Anyway, Duck, yeah, our next guest, he doesn't have to worry about any of that. Unfortunately, he's not playing at the moment for the Geelong Footy Club. His name is Scotty Selwood. He joins us now. G'day, Scotty. Thanks for joining us on this Monday, Rob.
No, thanks for having me, boys.
Oh, what's going on? You got a funny toe?
Sore big toe, believe it or not. I didn't
even know. Is that a reason to miss games, Scotty?
Yeah, well, apparently so. I didn't even know you could get sore big toes. I thought you just chopped them off. And it's not gout, this one.
What's wrong with it?
Just I had a bit of bone stress, so I was just sort of going on from the preseason, and it's all good now. I'm going to run around next week and try and get a kick, but just probably took a little bit longer to recover than normal, so that's usually a part of rehab.
So what do you have to do? We talk about the guys that have had fractured jaws and they get absolutely flogged on the training track. When you have something like that, what sort of cross-training are they making you do to keep yourself fit?
Mate, there's a bike called the Assault Bike, and it does exactly that to you. So literally you're on that most days, and you're just slowly coming back and trying to get a lot of physio and
spending a lot of time in the pool.
A lot of time in the pool. And down Geelong, we're a little bit more relaxed, so we do a little bit of it in the ocean and maybe trying to stand up on a surfboard. So that can be part of it. And so it's all part of it. But I'm going to have a run around next week and try and get a kick.
That being a VFL run around, or maybe
I think so. I think so, mate. I've spent a fair bit of time out now, and I think if it was a bit earlier on in the year, I think my pre-season fitness might be able to carry through. But now it's time, I think, to consolidate. And I've had a lot. I haven't had a great run with injury, obviously. So I think it's just time to try and get my body back into a good spot, and then try and get a really good run at the end of the year, rest of the year, and. There's still a lot of footy to be played.
Putting yourself amongst the hunt already into this stage of 2017, as you pretty much have done for a very long time as a club. Where do you see it at the moment, Scott?
It's exciting, I think. For the guys that we took out of the football club, which is champions of our team, and to bring in some other guys who have played their role, it's just exciting, I think. I know we haven't stood up for four quarters, or we haven't played the way, that's been really convincing, I guess you could say, but I think we've stood up when we needed to, and that's what good teams are doing, and that's what we need to do today. We know Hawks are going to come out and they're going to be brutal, and they're going to play hard, and they're going to make us really fight for this win today, so it's going to be exciting.
Chris is very defensive when he gets asked this question, has been of late, but are you too reliant on your brother and on Dangerfield?
Yeah, it's a good question, I mean because of the stats are the way they are, obviously we are, but we expect them to win those numbers, and we expect them to change the game or stop the flow of momentum when that is the case. I think it's the other thing is around the ball and the other stuff that guys are doing off the ball that I think we need to stand up a little bit more in. And the Sydney final obviously highlighted it probably the most, but we are a little bit sick of talking about it. But until we convince people otherwise, and then we've got no real right to sort of say that we're any better or anything like that. So I think the last few weeks, Mark Blitzarves in particular, Sammy Menengola, these guys coming through are playing a role, and we're even seeing our young forwards. And I think probably the game we played against Freo in round one probably highlighted it best, where Joel and Pat both played really well, but I thought there was an even contribution for the day.
And it was not the conversation around Dangerfield and Selwood. It is around Harry Taylor, isn't it, at least for the first 3 weeks of this year. How have you seen it from the sidelines looking on as to the role he's playing? And do you expect him to start forward again today?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, absolutely. I think I've read an article today, and we probably look at it a bit more in depth than what most people do. We're looking at it all the time, and we're training with him, and we're seeing how much work he's doing. And to watch Hawk get a bit more freedom, and to watch men's get a few more one-on-one contests, they're the things we're looking for. And I know it's hard to read from the stats and things like that. And H will admit, like, he'd love to be kicking goals and contributing that way. But at the moment, it's not what it's about. We're trying to free up those guys. And I think when the game's been on the line, that's actually been really helpful and created a contest where needed be.
Just a slight change of pace, Duck. I live down Geelong way, and occasionally I visit the movies down there. I take the kids down there to see the Smurfs or whatever.
Wouldn't be gold class.
Well, no, not gold class, especially in G-Town. You're just happy to get a seat full stop down there.
Tight Tuesday.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, Duck. We're not all on 6.4 a year, but we do the best we can. But you know when you get to the movies, Damo, and they show a couple of ads beforehand?
Yes.
And, Duck, you were Roo Boy. You were fantastic. Brian, you do some Toyota work. Now, Scotty is involved with a mob called Geelong Travel, and he dresses up at various times in a Hawaiian shirt with his brother, as a matador, as a captain, and I would say it's possibly the worst television I've ever seen. It's not worst and best. It is full stop worst, Scotty. How do you respond to these criticisms? Because it's some real, real, real ugly movie slash television.
It is shocking. It is absolutely terrible. And I remember it was about 3 weeks into being at the footy club, and Joel sort of said, "Oh, look, I've got a little thing for us to do, and we'll get something out of it." And I said, "All right, but like, you know,
something.
I've got, you know, like, just remember, like, I'm still at the club. I don't really know the boys. I'm still trying to earn respect and all that sort of stuff." And I rock up and I put on a Hawaiian shirt and I put on a matador and away we go. And the boys have had a lot of fun with it since. And
have you seen the finish? Have you sat in the movies and had to sit through any of those?
Yeah, I always wear a hood whenever I go to the movies, put the hood on and I tie it up and I make sure no one can see that it's actually me in there. So it's finished now. It was for a good friend at Geelong Travel, and he definitely got his money's worth with that anyway. So he's a very happy man out of it, that's for sure.
Brian, I'm talking
because when you go to the movies, those ads, they really hit you.
And Brian, in Geelong, there's not many ads, so you might see four Selwood specials in a row, really, to bring the tone down.
I know. I think Joel's ran with a couple more, but hopefully that's enough for the Selwood boys with that.
Hey, Scotty, we really appreciate your time, mate. Hopefully you get over that shocking toe injury that's keeping you out of action, and you can do some more acting and some more playing again soon.
Thanks, Jamie, lads.
Damo, just before we move on and talk Bombers, just noticed watching the Channel 9 Sunday footy show yesterday. Good show, by the way. Good stuff there. There was something seemed to be going on with you, Billy. Something to do with the coach, Rocket, or I couldn't quite put all of the things together because I only watched pieces of it.
Right.
What happened?
You normally read things into things a lot, BT, don't you? But I think what you may have been referring to was Billy Brown is trying to make something a whole lot more than what actually was the case, that being myself and Rodney E just having a little quick chat off camera, so to speak.
Heated.
Billy was trying to make it out that it was indeed heated, but it wasn't, BT. It was just a quick conversation that was had off air before Rodney Ead went on
air. Rocket could give a rocket.
Normally, Duck, where there's smoke, there's fire.
No, I have received several rocket sprays over the 25 or so years in the past, BT. But
what's the best spray, the most fearsome spray you've received off a coach?
Off a coach? It would have been Dennis Pagan when he corralled me in the Marnica change room, stuck after a practice game of all things, and managed to, without me realising, get me into a corner with no one else in the room. And there was going to be some physical intimidation before voices happened to be raised. And I think it was Mr. Kennedy down there at the Roos Duck who actually came and saved me by opening the
Mickey
door.
Kennedy.
Mickey Kennedy. Yeah,
what came in.
I was going to say, what was it?
It was an article that I'd written about Wayne Schwoss and Glenn Archer when they missed that final in 1997. And Wayne Schwoss, I quoted in the article, as I did Glenn Archer, and Dennis not at all happy about that being dredged up whenever it was after the event, and felt that it was not right. And now I was quite fearful that day. Probably the best spray of a cop, though, BT, not from a coach, might have been one from Alistair Lynch down the phone line. Didn't last very long, but it was just pick up the phone, didn't know his number at the time, and absolutely gave it to me when he was playing for the Brisbane Lions and I was up there working at the local paper up there.
Have you had a coach physically have a go at you before, Damien? There's rumours that circulate a post-function situation. A black tie function.
Well, I'm only talking about this because Michael Voss and others witnessed it at the Thursday of grand final week last year when Justin Lepich had a pretty serious go at me, Howie.
Physically?
If it wasn't for Jamie Charman, Duck, who stepped in and used all of his 6'11" and 25 kgs to hold Lepich back, I think it might have been.
If he hadn't been there, how would you have physically handled yourself in that scenario?
I wouldn't have been around to see what happened. I wouldn't have thought, Howie. And
what was his great bug to bear?
He felt that I might have had something to do with the decision made by his footy club to move him on, which.
Sounds like Damo's upset a few.
Not many. I think we're taking a free segment job, Brian.
I think the Scott boys, Brad and Chris, might be in after they've heard you're pretty much trying to get him sacked after today.
Rossi Lyon might be on the phone too. Yeah. All right, now, just want to get your thoughts on the Bombers, guys. And things seem to have slowed, particularly for the players that have been banned, Damo. Is it just a coincidence or are things coming to a grinding halt?
It's interesting, BT, isn't it? Because, again, you can debate and have your opinions on the decision to get them all back. And they set out to do so, Duck. For what it's worth, I didn't agree with that. But having said that, I fully respect the fact they went down that path and basically achieved that bar for a couple of movements. So they did that. But the collective element of that decision is one now that's four games into 2017. We are left to question it, aren't we, Duck? Because it's not just one or two who seem to be labouring under this. It's the collective per se. And as such, when you combine the physical constraints of having not played last year with the mental constraints that are clearly still at the very backs of their minds, you just, as we speak, don't know what it's going to do.
Yeah, and
you can't possibly know.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I mean, I guess Woosha has put it on the table, but and that's why I asked the question about Jakey Carlisle, and we obviously have Paddy Ryder at Port Adelaide, who, by the way, BT, was playing some really, really good footy. Looked like he was, really freshened up by it. So only Woosha can describe that, and I guess to ask the players themselves, it was always going to be a challenge to have the year off to just see how, and clearly some of the older players that have come back.
They were well looked after though. David Butterfin, who's regarded as one of the best in the business, was looking after them in a physical sense, those players,
yeah.
And he would have done a brilliant job with them.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Because, and he, for those who don't know the name, was synonymous with Mick Malthouse's success at Collingwood.
He was the leader, really, in sports science.
Yeah, but again, this is not new, and I'm probably the least qualified to talk about it, BT, but having that training set up the way they did, it's not, obviously, match day situation. Yeah, and you can convince yourself you're doing everything right, and the numbers may look good, your 2,000 meter time trial may be fine, and your short sprints may be fine, and everything else will be fine, but you're just not playing footy.
No, so it's those movements that you haven't had for 12 months that get you in the end. But I still think that with a long break until obviously Anzac Day next week, BT, that just might be enough to freshen them up.
Did you? I mean, you watch it closely, Duck. What we're seeing with Joe Watson this year, what are you observing?
I've seen Essendon play a couple of times this year. I think he's been pretty solid. He's been good in close. He's now got some really good players around him. I reckon Zach Merritt's an absolute star. I think he's been solid. You don't think he's been solid, or?
I don't like engaging in the footy talk, as you know, in a box with you and a BT, for instance. But I don't think he's been effective at all. Over the four games. Okay, the round one game, everyone was up and about, weren't they, against Hawthorn? But since then, I've just felt that he's dropped away a bit. Now, whether it's
Dropped away, or are they players that haven't played for a year and lacking a bit of touch and they need to find that a bit more? Like, you know, consider a player that's had an ACL coming back. It's not just the fitness thing. It's the touch. It's the reaching the fever pitch pace that you need to sort of reach again and, you know, it's all those other little things. Is it more than just fitness?
I'd be staggered if it wasn't more than just fitness, yeah. I mean, I as much as you'd like to think that what they've been through is now behind them, and from a sanctioning perspective, yes, it is. But you've still got your thought processes, haven't you, BT? And sometimes those thought processes come to the forefront.
I just think we judge them a bit high at the start of the year. I actually don't think they're that, you know, that good. I think they're probably an outside eight finisher.
We'll find out a little bit about how flat they are on Anzac Day. You watch. It'll be an absolute beauty, given where Collingwood's at.
Yep.
Given the Bombers. Matched, yeah, this, I think it's going to be an absolute beauty next Tuesday.
How's Carlo? I know you touched on him earlier on, Duck, but how is Carlo going?
I think he's built into the year. I don't think he hasn't been great.
He's been good, though.
Yeah, he's been okay. He's starting to mark the footy again. They got him there to be a centre-half back that can, and obviously Fisher retiring, they need him to stand up and take contested marks, BT, and you can just see that touch is just slowly coming back
and
to
he's,
him.
And he's a super smart footy thinker as well.
Is
and
he?
So that's really important. Absolutely is. In terms of his footy intelligence, very, very high and highly regarded. At St Kilda.
Saturday, Rub flying at the moment. Brian, yourself and Duck and Damien doing a magnificent job. JB, I was in the car on Saturday just driving along and you brought something to the table which tickled my fancy,
yes.
Brian. So much so, and so awkward was the Duck, I think we need to recall it right now.
It's come to my attention, Duck.
Yes.
At an inner city location during the week, late at night.
Oh, no. Late.
quite late.
Well,
just hang on a minute, Duck, because okay. You don't know anything about what this is about.
I know that I haven't been out any later than 10, so it can't be too late.
Well, anyway, inner city.
You might have started early this day.
Gloomy.
Smoky?
Smoky, sort of dungeon-y type setup.
Listen,
I'm told that only it's like a club within a club,
oh,
right?
Oh, no.
It doesn't have a door. It's
down
steps
laneway.
Down, and then you think you're there, and then you go down more steps.
Right.
And it's deep in the bowels of Melbourne.
Listen to this, man.
Where people of Duck's ilk can let their inner self out.
Oh,
right? They
you
can,
idiot.
Without fear, nothing has ever got out of this room until now. Nothing has ever got out, and I'm talking the biggest celebs in the world go here, and they can do as they please, and nothing gets out.
No.
But they will be shutting down as a leak has occurred. My spies have told me, Duck, that you were the, not only the king, you are the KK, the karaoke king. I'm told that you did a Sher number. If I could turn back time, and this is how it went in the dungeon.
I take back those words that I'll hurt you when you stay.
Woo!
I don't know what the things I did to know why I said things I said.
I'll get the drinks.
In case you're wondering what the song actually was, this is what it should have sounded like. Yes, that's sure. If I could turn back time, Ducker.
What the hell?
Who gave you that?
Don't worry about who gave it to me. I also believe, and I know we haven't got the audio of this, because I got caught knocking it off, they caught me. And I only got that the Kenny Rogers, the gambler, was also one of your upmarket.
Now, let me clarify something.
Oh, no.
One, it wasn't a dungeon.
Right.
It wasn't
That was you, though.
It wasn't.
Can you clarify that?
That was me.
Oh, no.
That was me. It wasn't a dungeon. It wasn't some seedy setup.
Let me just tell you something else.
It was actually a very...
Don't fight out of it. Let me just ask you another question about it. There are a couple of voices giggling in the background.
Yeah, there were.
And I'm suggesting
they were giggling at the poor...
I'm suggesting one of them in particular.
They were giggling... They were giggling. Friends of mine were giggling about how bad I was singing the song. And it's a very classy karaoke.
Did you take someone with you, Duck?
In the setup. I actually just sort of went there by myself
to sing
a song. And a few people just invited themselves
Really? It is very private.
Into my booth.
It's private within the private.
It is a private booth, karaoke in the city.
Very private.
And I tell you what, I recommend it highly. It's a lot of fun. Go in there, take the kids. And it wasn't...
But the Duck actually got up there. I'm told you got up there with complete and utter trust that nothing had ever leaked out of this place you were going to be able to go full bore.
I cannot believe you have got that. Where did you get that?
Bristle, I don't know about where I got it.
How have you latched onto that?
This is a celebrity hideout of...
That is. And by the way...
Hasn't even got a name.
You know what I'm unhappy about? They didn't even get the chorus when I really hit hit the top notes when it was "If I Could Turn," when I really nailed it.
The KK just up there. Not only that, normally you just do it from the lower level, but he got up on the stage.
Stood up.
And there are only three or four people there, of which Wayne knew them all.
So Brian, unearth this sort of stuff is legendary. How does it come to you?
No, what Duck doesn't understand is that I have a direct connection with the double underground place. Double depth. I have a direct connection there, Duck, and you should be wary if you think you can go there and get away with stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And there is other stuff that... can't be said. I'm talking some real stuff.
You're an idiot.
Brian on fire on the Saturday Rub. Ducky is in the back row just shaking his head continuously throughout that. Have you found out who was the leak in your party, Duck?
Look, there were a few people. There were a few of us singing karaoke, and there's, geez, he put a bit of mayonnaise on that story, didn't he?
BT.
Late at night, at a double underground, all of that stuff. I think it was about 9:30 at night.
Well, that doesn't make for such a good story.
Shut up! The footies on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.